We're live at EXT with blues rocker Albert Cummings. Albert, thanks so much for dropping on by.
My pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Hey, you've been playing that guitar for quite some time. How long?
That's a mixed question, but I started when I was 15 and learned a little bit about it and learned a few chords, but I never really started learning anything in depth about it until I was 27.
So. Yeah. You progressed in a very short time. You want to show us a little something on that guitar?
Sure.
For the way you treated me, oh baby, why do you treat me like you do? Remember one thing, baby, I said I've got feelings too. Well, now everything I do, baby, it's always wrong. I'm tired of listening to you just carrying on. I said, now baby, why do you treat me like you do? Remember one thing, baby, I've got feelings too. More than a good man ever should. You treat me so bad when I treat you so darn good. I said, now baby, why do you treat me like you do? Oh, remember one thing, baby, I've got feelings too.
Yeah, there we go, live at EXT with Albert Cummings, a blues, rock, and Americana singer, songwriter, guitarist. Thanks so much for taking the time to be here today. I've got feelings, too, from a brand new collection of songs. It's a CD, DVD, Blu-ray collection called Live at the 62 Center, a blistering performance in your hometown of Williamstown, Mass. Huh?
Right.
What was it like playing a sold-out show in your hometown?
Oh, it was fun. It was nice to see, you know, friends and family and the whole nine yards there. And, yeah, it's just a really nice energy in the room. So it's kind of captured in the CD. You can hear it.
Oh, you absolutely can. Now, your dad taught you to play three chords, right?
Yeah, basically. Just about three chords, and then he didn't have the patience to really teach me much else because he was really advanced, so
he wasn't
a very patient guy either. So
he was a musician too, right?
Yeah, he was a guitar player and played out quite a bit, but long before I was born. So that's what spawned my whole interest, was just that there's a guitar hanging around the house, so it's always there. And when it's just sitting there looking at you, you just kind of want to play it. So
now, did you get to play with your dad?
No, never on stage or anything like that. But, yeah. You know, he got me started into the whole thing. And
now, did he see you when you got good at it?
He saw me play with B.B. King. So, yeah,
I mean,
that was fun. Yeah, I got to introduce my parents to B.B. King.
So wow.
That was
wow.
Nice.
He must have thought, wow, you're incredible, kid.
Yeah, I don't know what he was thinking, but...
Well, you started playing banjo at the age of 12.
Right.
And you got hooked in the bluegrass music, huh?
Yeah. You know, bluegrass is, I think, much more popular now than it was then. Yeah, I mean, I still love the bluegrass, you know. I still love the players in the bluegrass, for sure.
How'd you get hooked on that, though?
Well, I was a little country kid, you know. My whole upbringing was country music and Hank Williams Jr. and Merle Haggard and all those guys. And banjo was an idea of one of my friend's dad's at the time, and he had a 5-string banjo, and he knew I couldn't fit my hand around the necks of the guitar. So he said, why don't you try this? You can fit your hand around this. And I just picked it up and ran with it. It was a great way to, like, you know, cut my teeth, learn about things.
And it all changed for you when you were in college, 1987. You saw Stevie Ray Vaughan perform, right? Tell us about that experience.
Yeah. So Stevie'd been out for a couple of years, but not many people knew about him. You know, it's like everything else. It takes a long time for people to catch on. And so I had known about him, and I tried to get all my friends to go to the show, and nobody wanted to go. So I went to the concert by myself and watched Stevie Ray play. And I can still remember that night just like it was yesterday. And that's that's been my inspiration for that guitar ever since that night.
Yeah, between seeing Stevie Ray at 19 and playing your first public performance on guitar at 27, you went to school. You were a carpenter for some time, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's what you went to school for, carpentry?
Yep. Construction, yeah.
Construction, yeah. And what made you get serious about playing and performing?
For years, I just, you know, fooled around with guitar, but I'd never, until I was 27 years old, I had never played with a band with a guitar. So at a friend's wedding, my friends encouraged me to get up and play with a band, and I did. And it was the most beautiful feeling ever. So it just stuck. I got bit by the stage bug that day.
Did you?
And
you
can
make some money from carpentry and construction
You know, it's a
very decent living.
Yeah. No complaints there, but
the guitar drew you in, called you.
Oh, it did. It really did.
And did something inside you go, boy, I'm really good at this. No. I could really do this.
No.
It took other people telling you that.
Yeah, I hear it a lot, but I always beat myself up, you know, but.
Why is that? Because, dang, you are good.
Yeah, thanks, but I don't know. I just, you can always be better, right?
Oh, you're too humble. You're really good. Well, how about this for a debut album? You had bassist Tommy Shannon, drummer Chris Layton from Double Trouble play on and produce your 2003 debut.
Right.
Wow.
And they also brought Reese Winans down, which made that album the first time that Double Trouble had recorded an entire album with an artist since Stevie Ray. So that was a really big deal to me.
Now, how did that come to be?
It all started right in Troy. I got to see Stevie Ray Vaughan and Double Trouble twice, and the second time I saw him was the RPI Fieldhouse. Years later, after I got my whole start in Albany and playing around Albany, and I started to get, you know, kind of a little reputation around and started to get known, and people started to come see me wherever I was playing, and RPI was going to have a blues day one day, and they said, we want you to be the local headliner. Who do you think we should get for the national headliner? And I jokingly said, why don't you have Double Trouble come play with me? And never thought anything of it. And they said, that's a good idea. And a couple weeks later, bingo. Yes came back. And the next time I walked into the RPI Fieldhouse, I was fronting Double Trouble. I mean, it's just mind-blowing that it...
Yeah, it really is.
I tell that story a lot, but every time I do, it's like, really? Did that really happen?
That was Double Trouble still touring out after Stevie Ray? I mean, were they dormant? How did you get them back to perform?
They were in a different series of bands. They had the Archangels, and I don't know, there was a couple different bands they were in.
Okay.
And I remember at the time, they were putting out, they had just finished, when I met them, they had just finished, they did an album by themselves at that time. I remember they had guests. Artists, and they did I don't remember the name of the album, but it was Double Trouble, and you know, it had different players, and I remember they were listening to that in the car when we listened to it as we were going to the gig, and that's what they were doing, you know, and they were kind of like doing their own thing with guest appearances, so they were touring like that.
And you became one of those guest appearances.
Yeah, eventually
here.
after we did the album, I went down and toured Texas with them. You know, it's just unbelievable.
Albert Cummings is our guest live at EXT. You can see Albert perform at the Mastery Center, the College of St. Rose, June 9th. Tickets are on sale right now at troymusichall.org. Tell us about this song here, Cry Me a River.
Yeah, well, it's I'll never reveal the source behind it, but, you know, it kind of tells its own story of Cry Me a River. It's too late for that.
Let's hear it. Albert Cummings live at EXT.
You told me your words were true, but I know now that I was misleading to ever believe in you. I don't know how I didn't see you coming, baby. Missed on your sign, but I know what goes around comes back around. Now you've got yours and I've got mine. I cry me river, cry like you never ever cried before. Cry cause I don't care. Doesn't have you, and it won't take me long to get there. The praising you's not hard to do.
EXT. We're live at EXT with Albert Cummings, a gifted guitarist. In fact, B.B. King called you a great guitarist. How amazing. How honored.
Yeah, that's the greatest inspiration from all times.
Now, when did he hear you? When did he discover you? Was this during the time you were touring with Double Trouble?
Just about the same time. Yeah, I had met his manager just prior to the Double Trouble, and the manager actually came and seen me play at RPI. And once that triggered, like a week later, we got a opening gig for BB. So it was like, wow, this is really this is incredible. And we got a standing ovation, and BB called me back out on stage, and the next thing I know, he's like, hey, you want to come to Florida? We're going on a Florida run, you know, come to this. And then BB actually asked me two different times to go on a national full circuit tour with him, but I wasn't popular enough for the promoters to put me on it. So even really? Though BB wanted it,
yeah,
you know, but that's just the way that's why it's called the music business. But yeah, I mean, just to be asked. I mean, so he heard me the first night, and then, then he'd hear me all the time. And about, I don't know, I think it was like three or four shows in that, he's Mr. King. Nobody calls him BB. It was Mr. King. So he had a very tight ship. I mean, he had people for everything. And when the BB King show came into the building, they ran their, everything. That ship was run beautifully, So he had bodyguards, which were his old friends that had been with him since the beginning, but everybody's wearing tuxedos and it was very formal. I don't remember which show, I remember what city, it was Morristown, New Jersey. I don't remember how many shows in I did, because I was able to do 26 shows with him.
Wow.
But who's counting, But I remember they came to me and they said, Mr. King wants to see you. And I was like, oh my God, what did I do wrong? Yeah, what did I do? And typical mindset, I did something wrong or something. and I went into the room and he said, sit down, Albert. And I just sat down, and he just laid into me about how much he loved my playing and how wonderful, what I did with the audience. And he was just like totally just giving me compliment after compliment after compliment. And I really, really, to this day, I don't even know what he was saying that I just blanked out. I was like, oh my God, I'm getting blessed by the master. That's really what it was. It was just like, and from then on, I just got to hang out with him. Every show would be hanging out backstage, and before the show would be hanging out with Mr. King. Like
Mr. King.
Another pinch me moment.
Wow. And you played with BB, you played with Johnny Winter, you played with Buddy Guy. Mm-hmm. These guys teach you something, playing guitar or touring, performing.
They all teach, they still teach me. BB's still teaching me, because I can still listen to what he's doing. That's the beauty of it, of this whole.
You're trying to figure.
Yeah, you figure things out, but you kind of like every, I don't know. You know how you listen to something and then you didn't really hear it, and then the next time you hear it, you listen, you're like, oh, you figure something out because you hear it repetitively.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you, like every time I hear BB Come On and his music, you can hear something else and I pick something else out of it. Or his voice inflection or his delivery and all that. I mean, they still teach you all that, you know, it's there, all there if you want to learn it. You just have to study it, you know. Inspiration is really what they give me. All of them.
Now, I've heard people ask musicians about what their rig is, what their setup is, what kind of guitar, what kind of amp. And, right. You know, it's not really about the guitar or the amp. It's about the player, right? Every guitarist has a style that's their own. What's yours and how did you develop it?
Yeah, you're right. But I think it's just like we all have an individual voice. You really have an individual sound with how you grab a guitar and play it, you know? I mean, I've seen clips of Stevie Ray playing through like a junky piece of junk amp or something, you know what I mean? And you know what he sounded like? Stevie Ray.
Mm.
You know, and people always say, oh, what do you use for pedals and what do you that? And I have a bunch of pedals and I switch them out. They're always rotating because I get sick of one, I try another one.
But, yeah.
But I use Fender amps straight and a Fender Stratocaster. That's pretty much it. You know, your hands are 90% of your sound, your hands and your how hard you hit and how hard you pull and do your thing. And then your amps are probably like 5%, and then your pedals are maybe 5% or something on top of that. I mean, you don't need all that stuff. I should tell myself that because I drive myself crazy because I'm a guitarist, always looking for the better tone. But I was opening a show for Buddy Guy once, and I remember we had only a few minutes to test the sound. So I had to run out, set my stuff up, and, you know, the theater's full of people. It's like I'm out in front of everybody kind of last minute testing, and everything's fine. I run back. I think I changed my shirt, and they're like, please welcome Albert Cummings. I go back, I grab the guitar, and there's nothing. It's like empty. And they're like, you know, and 1 second goes by, it seems like an hour because you're in front of like 1,500 people.
Yeah. Right?
And they're all like, Albert, they're yelling. And it's like, well, I can't get any, you know. And then so I just took the cord out of my pedal board and plugged it into the amp directly. I had to play the whole show like that. And I was like, why don't I do that every time? That's the best sound of all of it. But I never do. I always like to have something to fool around with.
Tell us about this band you're going to have at the Mastery Center on June 9th.
This is the strongest band. It's just going to be a trio that night. And our trio I'm biased because it's me, but we got a bass player named Scott Sutherland from Des Moines, Iowa. And he's the strongest that I've seen other than, you know, Tommy Shannon, what he sounded like with Stevie Ray. And
wow.
Very strong. Then my drummer's, he lives in Queens, but he's originally from Houston. His name's Warren Grant, and he's the drummer. And the three of us together just seem to, it's like the right recipe.
That's all
like,
you need. Just yeah, a three-piece. No, that's all you
need. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun as a trio. I mean, you're on the edge of the cliff every second. There's no room for error with the trio. But the three of us get together, and it just locks. It really, I don't know, it's fun to be a part of it.
We're looking forward to it. June 9th at the Mastery Center in Albany. Tickets at troymusichall.org. You can keep up with our guest, Albert Cummings, at albertcummings.com. Live at the 62 Center is his brand new album and DVD. Yeah, check him out. June 9th, Mastery Center in Albany, troymusichall.org for tickets. You want to tell us about this last song here? Is there something you could say about I Found You?
No, I think it's just a simple song about finding the right person. That's pretty much reveals the source of that one, right?
Let's take a listen.
Yeah, that's where this comes from.
Mr. Cummings, thanks so much.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I knew my dream were a
finally found you. I finally found you. I can't tell you, baby, oh, how could you make me feel right now? I don't know how you do it, but you do it somehow. I just wanna hold you. I wanna squeeze you tight. I just wanna make everything in your world feel alright. I thought this day might never come. I knew my dreams were overdue. Now I thank my lucky star, 'cause I finally, I found you. Oh yes, I finally found you. I finally found you. Oh yes, I finally found you.